Today's reading is taken 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 to 16. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing to you with these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, let's keep that passage open. Let's do this one up a bit. Yeah. Yeah, we are doing a series on church membership, so this is not an exposition of 1 Timothy. We are looking at a topic, but it's still God's word. So let's pray that we would listen. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that you would work today in us. Please, as a church, would you grow us, change us, envision us, empower us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the last week of this series, and we've had various comments. Some people have loved it. Yeah, it's great that you're doing this. Some people weren't too happy with some of the things we said, so that will come up in the question time. But an interesting comment, I don't know if you've heard that a lot, it seems a bit inward-looking, right? We're here as a church, and we just have a few weeks on what we do here in church. Yeah, it's if you're here as a visitor, maybe you're not a Christian, it doesn't seem that interesting. It's just us managing our own affairs. And let's see, this is what he said last week. This quote from an Archbishop, William Temple: "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." Right, the point of church is the people who are not members. Right, God is saving people. He is building the church. Right, isn't it about other people? The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. It's not about the sheep already there. Well, I don't know how you felt. Is it inward looking? Well, I agree. God is saving people. I agree that the church is there for non-members. But actually, that means that all this stuff about how what we do in church is very, very important. That is what I want you to convince you of today. And 1 Timothy is a great example of that. Now, I don't know if you know 1 Timothy. It's not the most popular book of the Bible. Why is Paul writing his book? Well, you see that it's about conduct in church, isn't it? Verse 14, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God." It's how you should conduct yourself in church. And if you read the letter, you get a lot of that stuff. Dealing with false teaching, what should you do in corporate prayer, different roles for men and women, qualifications for elders and deacons, what Timothy should be doing, organizing an aid program for widows in the church, how to relate to elders, all this kind of stuff. And you just think, well, this is a really inward-looking letter, isn't it? Just about conduct in the church. But why does Paul think this is so important that he's writing this letter? Well, clearly the church is not just any group of people, isn't it? What does he say? The church is God's household, which is the church of the living God, the assembly of the living God, right? This is the people God is saving. I mean, the assembly of the living God, that changes things, right? What did you do in the weekend? Oh, I played guitar in church, or I played guitar in the assembly of the living God. Wow. But, you know, church is something special, but the church has a role, because that is what he goes on to. The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. You might think Paul got it wrong. The church, the foundation of the truth, isn't God's truth the foundation of the church? Well, Well, it's also true. But here he says that the church is a pillar and foundation of the truth, the gospel. Why do I say the gospel? Well, verse 16 goes to the gospel, doesn't it? He talks about the mystery of godliness, and clearly it's about Jesus, right? He appeared in the flesh, he was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, and his incarnation, how he came into the world, how he was raised from the dead, how he ascended, last line, taken up in glory, exalted. But in all this stuff about Jesus, well, did you see the fourth and fifth line? He was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and then taken up in glory. This is not just about Jesus. Actually, you know, Jesus, there's now something to be done. Jesus is to be preached, and people believe in him, and then it's the church, it's the head and the body that are taken up in glory. And this is about the gospel, about God being at work in the world, saving people from all nations. So if that is the gospel, Paul says it's we need a church for that. It's the pillar and foundation of the truth. That is, I think, the big thing I want to say today. Oops. Mission needs the church. I don't mean mission, just overseas mission, just generally, the progress of the gospel, the growth of the kingdom of God. It needs the church. That is what Paul says. Look, it's very important how you conduct yourselves in church, because it is the pillar and foundation of the gospel. Let's think about those words. I mean, here's a few pictures. You see that temple, the kind of temples that when this letter was written were around. Why can it be such a big, high building? Well, you need those pillars, don't you? You need something to hold it up, something to make it firm. The word foundation, it's a bit of a difficult word. Other translations talk about a buttress, which is these kind of things on the side that, again, that hold the building in place, that hold it firm. Paul says the gospel is held firm. It's held up by the church. Or maybe it's seen by the church. Maybe you think of a pillar like this. There's a statue. And why is it so high? Why can everyone see it? It's on a pillar. It's not just here on the ground. It's on a pillar. It's held up high. It's an image. We don't know exactly what kind of pillar Paul had in mind, but clearly the church is important. Mission needs the church for the gospel to be held up, held out, held firm. We need a church. Otherwise, it will just crash to the ground. It won't be seen. And so if that is right, it's not inward looking to think about how we do church, right? If the church is the pillar and foundation or support for the gospel. Now, what kind of ways am I thinking of? I mean, I think most of these are obvious, and if you've listened to the other sermons, they will hopefully click into place. But think about it. The church proclaims and protects the gospel. How are people going to hear the gospel? From the internet, the South China Morning Post, TV? My guess is it's from the church, right? Here is where the gospel is proclaimed. Or the church when we're out there, when we are, when you're sharing the gospel with people around you. Now, you might say we don't need a church, we just need individual Christians. But who is going to encourage you to reach out to your neighbors? Who is going to pray for you? Actually, evangelism is a team effort, right? We need a whole church to do that. And you can say, you can say the gospel to your neighbor, but something like Friendship Sunday, we need the whole church to do that. Christianity Explored, maybe you can't run that, but you have gifts to help in the church, and we can do that together. We can do so much more together. But if the gospel is to be proclaimed, you need a church. The church protects the gospel. How do you know you preach the right gospel? How do you know that when you read the Bible, you've got it right? Actually, you see all the false teaching in the New Testament. It's important to get the gospel right. But actually meeting with others And as you go off the rails, they call you back. Actually, that's not what the Bible says. That's helpful, isn't it? So a church where people are together, it keeps a check on the gospel. It protects the gospel so that indeed people can be saved. And of course, you have mission overseas. Who is going to send out missionaries? It's very hard to go on your own without any support. You need churches who support you and love you and send you if you're a missionary, right? The church proclaims and protects the gospel. More than that, as we've seen, the church displays the gospel. And the church, as we said, is a picture. It's heaven on earth. Where do you see what God is doing? It's here. God is saving people, and that's us. I could take you to Ephesians from the church camp. We could go to 1 Peter. Here's a famous verse. John 13, 34, 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now love, therefore, matters, right? How are people going to know that we belong to Jesus? How are we going to advertise Jesus? It's by our love for one another. It is by our life together as a community. And so if we don't love one another, if we just live our own individual lives, people can't see Jesus. Something like that, right? And the church is it's God's new humanity. It is what he is, this current world with all its sin and brokenness. He's changing that here. You come to church and here is a group of people who love God, who are being changed by him. A group of people who love each other, not just selfishly, but love each other sacrificially. A place without injustice, a place without poverty, a place without racism, sexism, whatever. That is what God is building. And people can see that when they come here and think, wow, I want some of that. That is how the church, displays the gospel. Is the gospel real? Is God really at work changing the world? You can see that here in church. This is where the Spirit is. This is where God is at work. And so, yes, we think of, the gospel being heard, seen. You need the church. Right? And finally, I hope you got this from the series. I didn't know exactly how to put it, but the church is part of the gospel. Part of the gospel. When you put your trust in Jesus, that's not the end. Actually, what happens? You join the church. It's not that, I see the gospel there, and I hear the gospel there, so that's where I'm going. Right? You join the church. Part of the gospel, the good news, is that you're brought into this new family, into God's household. The church is part of the gospel. This is where you grow. And Jesus doesn't just want to save you, he wants to transform you. And that happens as you grow together, as we disciple one another. We need a church. Salvation, in a way, it's only complete at the end. How are you going to keep going? How is Jesus going to keep you going all the way to the end? Through the church. And the church is part of the gospel. It's part of what God is doing for you. And so, all in all, mission needs the church, doesn't it? Mission needs the church. I mean, if you take out this form, there's some of those things explicitly there, right? What are you committing to if you're a Christian, if you're part of a church? Well, the last one, sharing the gospel in our different networks. We should be doing that. That's what God is doing. That is what the church is for. When it talks about supporting and serving, the third bullet point in the second group, supporting and serving the mission of this church. It's not just about us, mission, but actually all of them. Loving others of this church. It's important for the gospel. Growing together, it's important for the gospel. Gathering and praying, it's important for the gospel. Mission needs the church. And so, this is not inward looking, isn't it? I don't know, I'll give you a silly illustration. When we were in London, we would often go to see my family back in Holland. And you'd think, okay, we need to make plans and we need to pack our bags. What was I doing? Well, I was spending time with our car, kind of topping up the oil, topping up the water, pumping up the tires, those kind of things. And you'd think, don't you have anything better to do, right? Don't you have a holiday to prepare? Why fuss with your car? Now, there's some people who fuss a lot with cars. They have this kind of garage, and every day they're tweaking. But no, you find it hard to believe if you're from Hong Kong, but we would drive 600 kilometers to my family and back. And the car needs to work. Getting a car tuned up is not inward, it's not wrong, it's not a distraction. You need that to get there. And so we need to get church right. We need to do what we need to do as a church because it's needed for the gospel. That's just who we are. It's central. And so I hope this series, in a way, has challenged you. Right? The church is important. It's not something optional. It's not something extra if you have time. This is at the heart of who you are, and it's at the heart of what God is doing. But it also brings another challenge, much shorter. It also means that the church is for mission. If mission needs the church is for mission, right? Ultimately, we're not here for ourselves. God has saved us as part of his plan, but that plan is still ongoing. We're not the finished product. The plan isn't finished yet. And so we should have this on our hearts as a church and as individuals. I mean, it's great to enjoy church, enjoy the community, enjoy worshiping God, but you're going to do that for all eternity. The thing you can't do for all eternity is reach the nations, reach the lost. Right? And we're in this world for mission. People need to hear the gospel, see the gospel, grow in the gospel, keep going in the gospel. That's what we're about as a church. That's what we as pastors want. It's what God wants for us. I think church membership isn't inward looking. I think the danger is just that I'm inward looking. I'm a sinner. Naturally, I'm inward looking, just focused on myself. And I think that's the danger for all of us. So, why do you come to church? I hope it's changed from coming just for yourself to coming, well, for others, for one another. But let's not stop there. We're part of something bigger. The church is what God is doing in the world as he's saving people, as he's building the church. That is what we should be about. And so, again, this is what God wants for us as a church, right? So I hope this actually will help, that as we encourage one another, as we help each other grow, that being outward looking is part of that. That we help each other evangelize, that we help each other live godly lives that commend the gospel. Right? I hope this is just part of our DNA, that we have a great commission from Jesus. And that when we ask you, look, please do this, please pray for us, it's not just about us, this is about Jesus' glory, Jesus' church, and what he is doing in the world. Great. Now, why don't we have a short period of silence, and then I'll pray, and then we're going to sing a song that really expresses that really well. Let's spend some time. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for everything you have done in your Son, Jesus, and what you still are doing through him. We are so thankful that you saved us out of darkness into your wonderful light. But please, would this plan, this wonderful gospel, be on our hearts as we conduct ourselves as a church, as we live in this world, as we are here? Would we know that we are here for your purpose, for what you are doing? Would we gladly play our part? Would we serve each other as we try to reach the lost? And would you indeed be saving many people? We'd love to see many more sinners in that great church around your throne on the last day. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, as the worship team comes up, we're going to sing Let Your Kingdom Come, that God's glorious cause would engage our hearts. And then we'll have our question and answer session.